Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. As usual, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. Today's episode is the first of the Lightning Build series, where I bring a guest onto the podcast to try to build a hypothetical deck in 5 to 10 minutes, or at least a concept of a deck in 5 to 10 minutes, using a commander, so a eligible legendary creature that I have selected before the show and that they do not know they have to build until right now, live on this episode. So again, my first episode is my partner in crime on the Control Room series, and that is Ryan. So I'd like to welcome Ryan back to the podcast. Hey, Ryan, how's it going today?
I got to think on my feet for this one. Gotta get ready here. Use every single ounce of my magic-related knowledge and ability to improvise.
All right. So the ground rules are this. Before the show, I selected a commander who I determined has multiple ways to build around them. So, sorry, no Marwyn the Nurturer is here for Elf Tribal. So what I'm trying to do on the series is choose a commander who has a lot of potential different avenues to build around them. I was originally inspired to do this after my podcast episode with my good friend Coach Jero a couple weeks ago in the Selenia and Me episode, where he and I discussed our personal Selenia builds and how they differed from each other, as well as how they would differ from hypothetical decks from a couple other people we know, and how they would build that same Selenia deck, and they would all do different things. So again, I've already chosen my commander, and I'm just going to give you a few minutes to just talk through how you would build this deck. Again, I'm not going to actually ask you to put any specific cards in there. I just want to hear what your thought process is and roughly what the deck would look like if you can do that for me in, you know, the next 5 to 10 minutes. So it's going to be a true lightning build round for an EDH hypothetical EDH deck. Sound good?
All right. Yeah.
All right. So the commander I have chosen for this episode today is actually a commander that I used to have a deck for, and unfortunately ended up getting squeezed out for what I feel is a better version of that deck. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Hannah Ships Navigator. Hannah Ships Navigator is a legendary human artificer, 1/2 creature that costs 1, a white, and a blue, so 1 in Azorius colors, and she has the ability pay 1, white, blue, and tap to return target artifact or enchantment card from your graveyard to your hand. Alright, so there's obvious synergies here with artifacts and enchantments, Ryan, but again, I built this in a completely different way where I didn't necessarily run either of those. I had my own interesting take on this one, so without further ado, take it away.
You know, this is an interesting one. You don't often see Azorius when it comes to artifacts. However, what I would actually do with this is I would actually make an enchantment-based deck, actually. And I would do something kind of interesting. See, it says, return target artifact or enchantment card from your graveyard to your hand. Actually, what I would do is I'd utilize blue strengths here and get a lot of cards that either loot or cards that pull things out of the library and mill them into your graveyard. And then I'd utilize Hannah's ability to recur those things back into my hand to be able to use them. So I could use my graveyard as like a one-time extension of my hand normally. And then what I'd also do is I'd, because her ability is a tap ability, I'd include something like the card I mentioned previously, the what card was that?
Something like Pemmon's Aura, for instance.
Pemmon's Aura.
Or Staff of Domination, which allow you to untap and untap a creature. There's a lot of effects in the game that allow you to untap a creature.
Yeah, and so a card I wanted to mention here was Umbral Mantle, which I mentioned on my an earlier episode of Uncommonly Good Cards, you know?
And if you haven't listened to that episode, it's a great listen.
Yeah, I think that card would do really well because it would allow you to repeat Hannah's ability. So instead of just having one card, you could pull from your graveyard to your hand. You could pull two, and then I'd also other cards that are capable of untapping or cards that that are capable of copying triggered or other abilities. Like activate abilities, I would include those in the deck as well to try to get the most out of her. And so what I would do is I would focus around, instead of, you know, the standard Azorius, like deck that utilizes card draw. Instead, I would almost make like a Dimir like self mill slash card draw strategy, where the goal is to put those enchant like high value enchantments into your graveyard, so effectively you can tutor them into your hand at any time. And then I'd also include cost reducers in that deck, because I'd focus on enchantments rather than artifacts mostly, but I think I could also include some artifacts in there to get the
so what would some of the enchantments of that. That what are some of the enchantments you would include in this hypothetical deck?
So I'd include enchantments like I think there's an enchantment called Aurification, which anytime a creature basically is successfully swings and hits you, what Aurification does is it deals it puts a gold counter on that creature that deals damage to you, and each creature with a gold counter on it is a wall in addition to its other types. But what it actually means is that creature is a wall, and it also has Defender. It was eroded under Gatherer. It's an old card from Invasion. So basically, it's a defensive card that allows you to both put down... it's kind of like, if you think about it, it's like Marchese's Decree in white, but instead of hitting the other player, it hits that creature instead. So it's a punishment ability. I'd include suites of cards like that. Another one would be like Ghostly Prison.
Propaganda.
And also Propaganda as well. Those are like your basic defensive enchantments.
Sphere of Safety would probably also work well in an enchantment heavy deck.
Sphere of Safety is an absolute powerhouse that I would also include. So what I'd be doing is I'd be doing kind of like that classic Enchantress sort of strategy, but I'd do an Enchantress control slash reanimation strategy. So in any ways, it would end up resembling, if you're familiar with Gen Arcanum Weaver, instead of, you know, with Gen, you're popping things back into play. With Hannah, you're popping things back into your hand. So I'd probably also include Omniscience as a win condition there. So I could just build a bunch of things into my hand and then just play Omniscience and dump all of the enchantments from my hand into play after I'd recurred them from my graveyard. Because that might be kind of funny. That's a little bit of a janky win condition, I must say. But I think it could be pretty funny. I'd also... in addition to like, you know, Aurification, Ghostly Prison, I'd include some cards that play really well into the control strategy. Say cards that are capable of, or enchantment cards that are capable of removing creatures. So I'd put an O-ring into the deck. I'd include a couple other ones. The best examples of the Pacify type ability is not Pacify itself, but the better cards have been released since Pacify has been released.
So something like let's say Pariah, or again Oblivion Ring, things that are going to take your opponent's creatures and basically turn them into non-factors. Or you could even slap Teferi's Veil or whatever on one of them too, to be able to force them to phase out.
Yeah, I would do that. I obviously can't play Oubliette.
Oubliette.
I can't play that because that's in black. Otherwise, I would say play Oubliette in this deck because that's a bomb. What I would do instead is I would play, you know, White's suite of creature removal. I'd also put maybe some enchantment-based enchantment or artifact removal, which is kind of a weirder, more unusual kind of thing. Maybe some that negates artifacts or enchantments. I would, for like varied win conditions, I think I might actually include a card like Opalescence, if you're familiar with what Opalescence does.
It's on
the reserve list. It's a little bit expensive now, but there's a couple other cards that do Opalescence-like abilities. Effectively, it lets you, after you've dumped a bunch of enchantments into the field, it lets you turn all those enchantments into creatures, so it lets you beat face with your creatures. And because you're in white and in blue, you're in ideal colors for anthem effects. So yeah, you can't drop an overrun and make all of your enchantments smack their heads. But what you could always do is, like, I don't know, give all of your enchantments flying, or maybe give them all some kind of unblockable, some kind of evasion, and smack an opponent for that. And, you know, while you're at it, you might as well also include something like a Pegasus Storm or whatever. Makes your life total into a bunch of tokens. It's kind of a random
Storm Herd.
It doesn't, not really related to the to an enchantment, but
it's fun.
It would be pretty fun to have. Plus, it shores up one of the weaknesses of a deck like this, where you'd be focused around recurring non-creature permanents, and that sometimes you just really want to have a bunch of creatures and you don't necessarily have a clear way to do that. In a deck like this, I'd also like recommend doing Assemble the Legion, but we're not in Boros, so no. I can't recommend that. Instead, I would recommend one of the other kinds of enchantments that can like generate tokens, or either something that generates it conditionally or something that generates it just as a like a side effect. I'd also put some classic blue cards in there. I'd probably put a Ponder in there, because Ponder belongs in a lot of decks. I'd also put some of, like, you know, the aforementioned Enchantress related effects, so that you can get card draw from playing enchantments. I'd put cards that are, because you're going to be wanting to play these things from your hand, I'd be putting cards that can cheat enchantments or other cards into play, and I'd be putting cost removal or cost reduction cards in the deck. So to round that out. Plus, what I would be doing is I'd be looking for ways to get creatures that work well with Hannah Ship's Navigator's abilities. So, and obviously in Azorius, it's a little bit more limited than, say, if you added green to it, or if you added black to it, where you have a little bit more stuff that you can do fun things. Obviously, you don't have red in your deck, so you can't just do direct damage on someone to pull out a win. You know, you can't include Court of Ire and just keep hitting someone over and over again. But you have alternatives. A Sigil of the Empty Throne is one that generates angels every time you play an enchantment. So I would also recommend including that in a deck kind of like this, because your goal is going to be to keep putting enchantments out on the field. And unlike with something like a Arcanum Weaver deck, where you're putting it from the field, or you're putting it from your graveyard onto the field by sacrificing, say, an enchantment. In this case, you're not sacrificing enchantments, so you're not going to be really worried about if your enchantments get destroyed. You can always recur them, but that's not going to be the primary way you get enchantments in the field. You're not going to be reanimating your enchantments. You're going to be recurring them to your hand. So that's what I would focus on. When it comes to white creatures, I would think about including creatures that are defensive in this kind of game, because you're going for the long control game. At least that's what I would go for. Long control, stall out your opponents, or at least neutralize their threats, and then when their threats are neutralized, you can, at this point, you will hopefully have been building enough value with multiple overlapping enchantment effects that both, you know, draw you cards, accumulate resources. At that point in the game, you're ready to whip out cards like Storm Herd, or cards that that can buff or anthem your creatures, or cards that can create creatures, and then utilize that as a win condition to kind of overwhelm your opponents. Because at that stage in the game, a lot of other decks are, especially if they get hit with that, are not going to be as well off. I'd also include some board wipes. Winds of Wrath, you know, destroy all creatures that aren't enchanted. I would include that in there, because you're going to be enchanting your own creatures. I'd include some auras in that deck. Especially because you can safely include auras in this deck, because you're going to be able to recur auras if they do get two for one into your graveyard with Hannah's ability. So you can always bring them back later on if you want to. So it gets around the hit to your card advantage with that kind of deck.
Sure.
And I mean, other than that, I'm trying to think of other strategies. There's a couple ones you could include. Let's say if you wanted to go more in the direction of, like, including maybe it's Azor's Elocutors, where it's the win, the alternate.
Yeah, 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 something like that. Or there's a ton of combos you can do in these colors utilizing various things. So yeah, it's just interesting to hear how you're going to do that. And I'm sure Mesa Enchantress is going to be showing up in this
Mesa
deck.
Mesa Enchantress too, yes.
Because
yes,
you're obviously going to be wanting to get that card draw off of every enchantment you play. Anyway, sounds like a really interesting deck. It's very different from how I built my Hannah deck, but again, that's the reason why I tore apart, because
how did you
really
build your
sucked.
Hannah deck?
I kind of built it as a sea creature tribal, actually. Oh. with Hannah's ability being sort of a secondary ability, where I knew that I was going to be losing some artifacts and enchantments during the course of the game in our meta, so I was able to utilize her ability to dredge some of those things back out of the graveyard and replay them, but it wasn't the main focus of the deck, and it was very unfocused, and I never quite was able to get it to work, so I reconfigured the deck into a mono blue build, which is, I think, much better now. So, again, it was a failed experiment, but definitely something interesting. Maybe I'll build another Hannah deck eventually later. It was an interesting build, something maybe I should return to later in the future.
Yeah, and with the Hannah deck build I'm describing, I would lean more into an Enchantress control strategy. Some people would instead lean into some kind of artifact strategy. Or like a combination of the above, but I like the idea. Again, it kind of reminds me of Gen a little bit, where you're trying to get value out of your graveyard full of enchantments, you know.
Sure. So again, Ryan, I want to thank you for taking the time to be on the podcast episode today here for the first Lightning Build Round EDH episode segment on this podcast.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, and again, you can listen to more of this podcast on Spotify, Google, Apple, and wherever fine podcasts are found. You can also find me on Twitter at @MTGInQuarantine. And if you're interested in being on the show, tell your friends. Let me know. Drop me a DM on Discord, on Twitter, or at my email address, which is included on Twitter.
Put a message to a bottle and throw it into the sea.
Message in a bottle, I guess, also works, but, you know, whatever. All right. Again, my name is MJ. You've been listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.